Hi there. Before we begin, let me explain something. This 12-part series was made at WYSO, a small public radio station in Southwest Ohio. We had financial support from Ohio Humanities, but we relied on WYSO's staff and infrastructure to get the job done. We'd be grateful if you could make a contribution at wyso.org. Thanks. Hi, I'm Nina Ellis.
And I'm Chris Welter. This is episode 9 of The Ohio Country. Thank you for staying with us. In the last episode, we met Laura Day, a poet, teacher, and citizen of the Eastern Shawnee tribe of Oklahoma. Day has known all her life that she was Shawnee, and that knowledge has infused her art. But not all tribal citizens have had that experience. As a result of forced removals, boarding schools designed to strip Native children of their heritage, language, and culture, and other federal policies, many Native Americans live today in diaspora across the United States. This has often led to a disconnection from their tribal communities. Today, the three Shawnee tribes and the Miami tribe of Oklahoma, who once called Ohio home, are all undergoing renewal, relearning their histories and cultural practices, reviving their languages, and reconnecting with Ohio.
In this episode, we'll hear from a Shawnee citizen who's undergone a personal renewal, discovering her Shawnee heritage later in life. She's a visual artist based in Ohio who's grappled with deep questions like, what about me is authentically Shawnee, and what does it mean to be Shawnee in the 21st century?
You're listening to The Ohio Country. This is Episode 9, Renewing a Shawnee Identity by Susan Burns, a Cincinnati artist and a producer at the Eichelberger Center for Community Voices at our public radio station, WYSO, in Yellow Springs, Ohio.
So tell me where we're going.
We are on Wagner Riffle Road, and this road follows the Brush Creek drainage. So Brush Creek is to our right, and Wagner Riffle just goes right along there.
I'm with Suzanne Chouteau in Adams County, Ohio, riding back roads to get to her home and art studio in the edge of Appalachia Nature Preserve, over 20,000 acres of protected rural land located about 90 miles southeast of Cincinnati. These are the ancestral homelands of the Shawnee.
How long have you lived out here?
Chris Beadle, my husband, started as the preserve director of the Cincinnati Museum Center's Edge of Appalachia Preserve in 1992. So we're a little bit over 30 years. But the truth of the matter is I work in Cincinnati and teach in Cincinnati. So I've spent pretty much half of our married life commuting. And for me, it seems like I moved out here yesterday so many times. It's always fresh.
So how did it affect your work when you started coming out here? Because you were teaching already at Xavier before you started coming out here?
Yeah. I've always looked to nature for inspiration and art making. And then just growing into the knowledge of the people who lived here before and generations and generations and the ancestral Shawnee and the connections to my Shawnee heritage has made it feel even more special, because I really wasn't conscious of that when I first moved here. That's happened over the years. All righty. We have made it.
Two generations after Chouteau's great-great-grandmothers were forcibly removed from Ohio to Kansas, her father moved to Iowa and started a family. Chouteau was born there, the youngest of eight children. She studied art at St. Ambrose University in Davenport, Iowa, where her father, an artist and art professor, was one of her teachers. She followed in his footsteps, going to graduate school for printmaking at the University of Iowa. For the past 34 years, she's been at Xavier University, teaching studio art and art history.
History of American Art was one of the first semester classes I taught, and the textbook had already been ordered, so I had to use it. The introduction, they basically said there were people living in North America. This was an art historian who said this, but they were eliminated, and so that's that. It was something that bad. He might have even said exterminated. I don't know what the exact word was, but it was like complete erasure. In the introduction to the textbook, just complete erasure of the indigenous communities that lived in North America. So in other words, the textbook was not going to talk about Native American artists at all.
Chouteau's own art often confronts erasure or genocide of humans and endangered animals. From genocides in Rwanda and Sudan to Chinook salmon die-offs and the mass slaughter of bison meant to starve the Plains Indians. In 2011, she made a print about the massacre of Lakota ghost dancers at Wounded Knee.
That led me to think about the removal of the Shawnee, the removal of my ancestors from here. And then that led me to tell the story of the Shawnee from a photograph that I had, that my grandfather had of his first cousin on his wedding day in Miami, Oklahoma.
She made a woodcut print of a man and woman standing in tall prairie grass. Snowflakes in the blue sky reference the forced migration that started at the onset of winter. The purple coneflowers that bloom are native to Ohio. The border of the print looks like a fringed blanket. It references comfort and protection, as well as the smallpox-infested blankets that were intentionally given to the Shawnee. On the border of the blanket is written Shawnee Chief Tecumseh's way of life statement.
Live your life that the fear of death can never enter your heart. Trouble no man about his religion. Respect him in his views. And demand that he respect yours. Love your life. Perfect your life. Beautify all things in your life. Seek to make your life long and of service to your people. Show respect to all men, but grovel to none. When you arise in the morning, give thanks for the morning light, for your life and strength. Give thanks for your food, and for the joy of living. If you see no reason for giving thanks, the fault is yours. I really hadn't heard about Tecumseh much, and when I read it, it was so profound, I wrote it down. And that is what I put along the border of the blanket, because to me it summarized what we lost, in a way. What I lost, let's say I lost, my family lost.
Their ties to tribal history, memory, and language eroded over generations of assimilation into American culture. Chouteau titled her blanket-bordered print, The Way of Life, Indian Removal Act, 1830. It marked the beginning of her own journey to reclaim something of her lost Shawnee heritage.
The Shawnee tribe was not federally recognized until the year 2000. So for all those years, even though our family knew we were Shawnee, we were identified as Cherokee Shawnee. My father instilled in us that we were Shawnee citizens and that we should be proud of that. He did not learn the Shawnee language, and nor did my grandfather. My grandfather went to the Cherokee seminary school and did learn to read Cherokee and speak some Cherokee, but never his own Shawnee language. My great-great-grandmothers who spoke Shawnee did keep that language. I believe Caroline, her Shawnee name was Conchiqua, and I believe her daughter Adelia, which would be my great-grandma, was called Solise. But you were discouraged from holding on to your language. You were punished, and I'm sure Caroline was punished at the Shawnee Mission School if she spoke Shawnee.
As we walked down the road to her studio, she told me that her father kept her and her siblings enrolled in the tribe, but for a very long time, she felt uneasy about publicly identifying as Shawnee. She was 50 years old before she made her first work of art about it.
Are you worried that you're not, or initially, like you didn't really claim your
exactly.
heritage?
Because what about me is really authentically Shawnee, right? I wasn't raised on a reservation. I wasn't taught the Shawnee traditions and language and customs and rituals. So without that, really, you know, besides the birthright, the bloodline, right? Besides the bloodline, how am I Shawnee, right? And then when I started to think about, though, the way that my father and my mother, but the way that we were taught to be and live, it's very Shawnee. It's a respect for all things. And I think of Tecumseh's words, you know, perfect your life, love your life, beautify all things in your life. That was at the heart in my family. You know, that was at the heart of the way we were raised. One thing I do feel is that making art, making artifacts, being creative, observing the world and turning that into art and music, that is in my family. And I think that goes way back. I really do. And so I'm enjoying the fact that I have this opportunity to be here.
In a clearing just off the road is her art studio, housed in a little cabin.
This is it. This is the, I used to call it the art and dance studio, because I dance in here just as much as I do art. It's really a lovely place to work.
This is where Chouteau printed the works about her Shawnee ancestors in a series titled Leaving a Trace, Making a Mark. She pulls out wide metal flat file drawers where she keeps her finished prints.
Let's see, are they in here?
She finds a full color woodcut portrait of Tecumseh.
There you go, at least one.
His gaze is direct. Around his neck is the medallion he gave to William Henry Harrison to commemorate a treaty that was later broken. He wears the eagle feather of a chief, and Suzanne points out a detail on the epaulettes on his shoulders.
You see all the four pointed stars, right? The same star sort of sparkles in the sky, because Tecumseh means shooting star. And so I'm referencing him as a shooting star. The jacket also has sort of this pattern of Quercus alba, which is white oak. The white oak is sacred to the Shawnee, and you see the white oak leaves on the seal of the Shawnee tribe as well. So I wanted all those references. I wanted to make this image of Tecumseh for 21st century Shawnee, and by a Shawnee tribal member.
Back at her house, we look at another print in the Leaving a Trace series called The Way of Love, a portrait of Chouteau's great-great-grandmother, Caroline Suggett. Drawn into the weave of Caroline's braids are tiny portraits of Chouteau's grandfather and father.
And I feel, especially here, that that I'm where they were, you know? They were here one time, and they were forced to leave. And so now that I've been able to return them, right? They're part of me that I've returned, my father, my grandfather, his parents, and so forth. In many ways, I feel that the circle is here, you know, right here. They came back, and I feel that, and I want to honor that. And that's the closest stories I have, you know, to this land and this place, is the stories of them and their children, that then they had children, and here we are, you know? That's important to me.
Chouteau brings out a century-old guitar that was her grandfather's. As she plays, I read the words written on Caroline Suggett's dress in her portrait. They came from her headstone epitaph, quoted from the Christian Bible. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith."
Across the morning sky, all the birds are leaving.
This is Susan Burns for WYSO.
Suzanne Chouteau was interviewed in 2023, and she has since retired from her faculty position at Xavier University in Cincinnati. Join us for episode 10 of The Ohio Country as we return to Oklahoma. There, we'll meet citizens of the Miami Tribe of Oklahoma who are reconnecting with their culture through a unique collaboration with the Miamia Center at Miami University of Ohio.
When our son went to Miami of Ohio on the Heritage Scholarship and through the Heritage classes, that's when I understood that there was forest removal. We had our own Trail of Tears. I had no way of knowing that. So as Ian was learning the history, as our son was learning the history, then he brought it home, and then I was learning the history.
That was episode 9, Renewing a Shawnee Identity. It was written and produced by Susan Burns, an artist and a Community Voices producer at the Eichelberger Center for Community Voices. She is also the creator of the series on WYSO called Studio Visit. You can see Suzanne Chouteau's artwork at wyso.org/podcasts. The editor of The Ohio Country is Samantha Summer, and the cultural advisor is Dr. John Bickers, a citizen of the Miami Tribe of Oklahoma and an assistant professor at Case Western University in Cleveland. Layla Troyer, a graduate of Miami University and a citizen of the Miami Tribe of Oklahoma, designed our logo. Evan Miller composed the music for the series, and the audio has been mixed by Flawn Williams. I'm the digital producer, Mary Evans. This program is made possible through a partnership with Ohio Humanities, a nonprofit that shares stories to spark conversations and inspire ideas, and by the National Endowment for the Humanities, a More Perfect Union initiative. Any views, findings, conclusions, or recommendations expressed in this program do not necessarily represent those of Ohio Humanities or the National Endowment for the Humanities.
To see visual content related to The Ohio Country, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. And for a full transcript of every episode made by humans, go to wyso.org.
Hello again. Now that you've heard this episode, let me explain again. This 12-part series was made at a small public radio station in Southwest Ohio called WYSO. We had financial support from Ohio Humanities, but we relied on WYSO staff and infrastructure to get the job done. So we'd be grateful if you could make a contribution at wyso.org. Thanks.